ॐ ज्ञानतिमिरन्नस्य ज्ञानञ्जनाशलाकाय चक्षुरुन्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः।
ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। सो प्रह्लाद महाराज इज रिस्पॉन्डिंग टू द क्वेश्चन asked of him by his father Hiranyakashipu, what's the best thing that you've learned in school? And he has responded with Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, etc. And Srila Prabhupada in his purport is analyzing each individual item of the nine processes of devotional service. And we are on, we're beginning with number three, Smaranam. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 5, Text 23 and 24, purport, beginning from 3, Smaranam. After one regularly performs the processes of hearing and chanting, and after the core of one's heart is cleansed, Smaranam, remembering, is recommended. In Srimad Bhagavatam, 2.1.11, Chukadeva Goswami tells King Parikshit, Etan nirvidyamananam ichitam akatobayam yoginam nipinirnitam harinamanu kirtanam. O King, kirtanam harinamanu kirtanam. O King, for great yogis who have completely renounced all material connections, for those who desire all material enjoyment, and for those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord is recommended. According to different relationships with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, there are varieties of namanukirtanam, chanting of the holy name. And thus, according to different relationships and mellows, there are five kinds of remembering. These are as follows. A. Conducting research into the worship of a particular form of the Lord. B. Concentrating the mind on one subject and withdrawing the mind's activities of thinking, feeling, and willing from all other subjects. C. Concentrating upon a particular form of the Lord. This is called meditation. D. Concentrating one's mind continuously on the form of the Lord. This is called dhruvanusmriti, or perfect meditation. And E, awakening a likening for concentration upon a particular form. This is called samadhi, or trance. Mental concentration upon particular pastimes of the Lord in particular circumstances is also called remembrance. Therefore, samadhi, trance, can be possible in five different ways in terms of one's relationship. Specifically, the trance of devotees on the stage of neutrality is called mental concentration. 4. Padasevanam. According to one's taste and strength, hearing, chanting, and remembrance may be followed by padasevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord. Being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. Please. Did I say it right?
So I think you read it right, but the word is wrong.
I read it right, but it was written wrong.
Correct.
I will make a note. You can't change it, though. Not allowed. Bzzz, 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 bzzz.
Okay, go ahead.
That was a good catch.
I know.
Yeah, and we'll also send a little... We'll give Dravid a little, you know, plug also. Oh, by the way, guess who found that one? I thought it, when I read it too, it didn't sound right, actually. I mean, when you read out loud like this, you catch everything. That's why the last stage of of the books that I've done with Chaitvaita Maharaj is always reading out loud with the author and the editors. Okay. 4. Padasevanam. According to one's taste and strength, hearing and chanting and remembrance may be followed by padasevanam. One obtains the perfection of remembering when one constantly thinks of the lotus feet of the Lord, being intensely attached to thinking of the Lord's lotus feet is called padasevanam. When one is particularly adherent to the process of padasevanam, this process gradually includes other processes, such as seeing the form of the Lord, touching the form of the Lord, circumambulating the form or temple of the Lord, visiting such places as Jagannath Puri, Dwarka, and Mathura to see the Lord's form, and bathing in the Ganges or Yamuna. Bathing in the Ganges and serving a pure Vaishnava are also known as Tadiya Upasanam. This is also Padasevanam. The word Tadiya means in relationship with the Lord. Service to the Vaishnava, Tulsi, Ganges, and Yamuna are included in Padasevanam. All these processes of Padasevanam help one advance in spiritual life very quickly. 5. Archanam. After Padasevanam comes the process of Archanam, worship of the deity. If one is interested in the process of Archanam, one must positively take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and learn the process from him. There are many books for Archana, especially Narada Pancharatra. In this age, the Pancharatra system is particularly recommended for Archana, deity worship. There are two systems of Archana, the Bhagavata system and Pancharatriki system. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no recommendation of Pancharatriki worship, because in this Kali Yuga, even without deity worship, everything can be perfectly performed simply through hearing, chanting, remembering, and worship of the lotus feet of the Lord. Rupa Goswami states, Sri Vishnu Shavane Parikshik Ababad Vaya Sakhi Kirtane Pralada Smirane Tadangri Bhajane Lakshmi Pritu Pujane Akuras Twabivandane Kapipati Dasyeta Sakirjuna Sarvasvat Madivedane Balirabhut Krishna Tire Shamparam Sarvasmatmanivedane Aniyaneu Krishna Bhirde Shampada. Parikshit Maharaj attained salvation simply by hearing, and Shukadeva Goswami attained salvation simply by chanting. Prahlad Maharaj attained salvation by remembering the Lord. The goddess of fortune, Lakshmi Devi, attained perfection by worshipping the Lord's lotus feet. Prithu Maharaj attained salvation by worshipping the deity of the Lord. Akrura attained salvation by offering prayers. Hanuman by rendering service. Arjuna by establishing friendship with the Lord. And Bali Maharaj by offering everything to the service of the Lord. All these great devotees served the Lord according to a particular process, but every one of them attained salvation and became eligible to return home back to Godhead. This is explained in Srimad Bhagavatam. It is therefore recommended that initiated devotees follow the principles of Narada Pancharatra by worshipping the deity in the temple, especially for householder devotees or opulent in material possessions. The path of deity worship is strongly recommended. An opulent householder devotee who does not engage his hard-earned money in the service of the Lord is called a miser. One should not engage paid brahmanas One should not engage paid brahmanas to worship the deity. If one does not personally worship the deity, but engages paid servants instead, he is considered lazy, and his worship of the deity is called artificial. An opulent householder can collect luxurious paraphernalia for deity worship, and consequently, for householder devotees, the worship of the deity is compulsory. In our Krishna consciousness movement, there are brahmacharis for grihasthas, vanaprasthas, and sannyasis, but the deity worship in the temple should be performed especially by the householders. The brahmacharis can go with the sannyasis to preach, and the vanaprasthas should prepare themselves for the next status of renounced life, sannyas. Grihastha devotees, however, are generally engaged in material activities, and therefore, if they do not take to deity worship, their falling down is positively assured. Take note, please. Deity worship means following the rules and regulations precisely. That will keep one steady in devotional service. Generally, householders have children, and then the wives of the householders should be engaged in caring for the children, just as women acting as teachers care for the children in the nursery school. Grihastha devotees must adopt the archana vidhi, or deity worship, according to the suitable arrangements and directions given by the spiritual master. Regarding those unable to take to the deity worship in the temple, there is the following statement in the Agni Purana. Any householder devotee circumstantially unable to worship the deity must at least see the deity worship, and in this way he may achieve success also. The special purpose of deity worship is to keep oneself always pure and clean. Grihastha devotees should be actual examples of cleanliness. Deity worship should be continued along with hearing and chanting. Therefore, every mantra is preceded by the word Namaha. In all the mantras, there are specific potencies of which the Grihastha devotees must take advantage. There are many mantras preceded by the word Namaha, but if one chants the holy name of the Lord, he receives the result of chanting Namaha many times. By chanting the holy name of the Lord, one can reach the platform of love of Godhead. One might ask, then what is the necessity of being initiated? The answer is that even though the chanting of the holy name is sufficient to enable one to progress in spiritual life to the standard of love of Godhead, one is nonetheless susceptible to contamination because of possessing a material body. Consequently, special stress is given to the archana vidhi. One should therefore regularly take advantage of both the Bhagavata process and the Pancharatriki process.
Deity worship has two divisions, namely pure and mixed with fruit of activities. For one who is steady, deity worship is compulsory. Observing the various types of festivals such as Sri Janmashtami, Ram Navami, and Nrsimha Chaturdashi is also included in the process of deity worship. In other words, it is compulsory for householder devotees to observe these festivals. Now let us discuss the offenses in deity worship. The following are offenses. A. To enter the temple with shoes or being carried on the palanquin. B. Not to observe the prescribed festivals. C. To avoid offering obeisances in front of the deity. D. To offer prayers in an unclean state, not having washed one's hands after eating. E. To offer obeisances with one hand. F. To circumambulate directly in front of the deity. G. To spread one's legs before the deity. H. To sit before the deity while holding one's ankles with one's hands. I. To lie down before the deity. J. To eat before the deity. K. To speak lies before the deity. L. To address somebody loudly before the deity. M. To talk nonsense before the deity. N. To cry before the deity. O. To argue before the deity. P. To chastise someone before the deity. Q. To show someone favor before the deity. R. To use harsh words before the deity. S. To wear a woolen blanket before the deity. T. To blaspheme someone before the deity. U, to worship someone else before the deity. V, to use vulgar language before the deity. W, to pass air before the deity. X, to avoid very opulent worship of the deity, even though one is able to perform it. Y, to eat something not offered to the deity. Z, to avoid offering fresh fruits to the deity according to the season. AA, to offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has first been given, to offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which has first been given to others. In other words, that seems a little funny, huh? To offer food to the deity which has already been used or from which. Oh, you may. Oh, good. It's already been done. Okay, I'll read it from yours. To offer food to the deity which has already been used or a portion of which has first been given to others. In other words, food should not be distributed to anyone else until it has been offered to the deity. BB, to sit with one's back toward the deity. CC, to offer obeisances to someone else in front of the deity. DD, not to chant proper prayers when offering obeisances to the spiritual master. EE, to praise oneself before the deity. And FF, to blaspheme the demigods. In the worship of the deity, these 32 offenses should be avoided. In the Varaha Purana, the following offenses are mentioned. A, to eat in the house of a rich man. B, to enter the deity's room in the dark. C, to worship the deity without following the regulative principles. D, to enter the temple without vibrating any sound. E, to collect food that has been seen by a dog. F, to break silence while offering worship to the deity. G, to go to the toilet during the time of worshiping the deity. H, to offer incense without offering flowers. I, to worship the deity with forbidden flowers. J, to begin worship without having washed one's teeth. K, to begin worship after sex. L, to touch a lamp, dead body, or a woman during her menstrual period, or to put on red or bluish clothing, unwashed clothing, the clothing of others, or soiled clothing. Other offenses are to worship the deity after seeing a dead body, to pass air before the deity, to show anger before the deity, and to worship the deity just after returning from a crematorium. After eating, one should not worship the deity until one has digested his food, nor should one touch the deity or engage in any deity worship after eating safflower oil or hing. These are also offenses. In other places, the following offenses are listed. A, to be against the scriptural injunctions of the Vedic literatures or to disrespect within one's heart the Srimad Bhagavatam while externally falsely accepting its principles. B, to introduce differing shastras. C, to chew pan and beetle before the deity. D, to keep flowers for worship on the leaf of a castor oil plant. E, to worship the deity in the afternoon. F, to sit on the altar or to sit on the floor to worship the deity without a seat. G, to touch the deity with the left hand while bathing the deity. H, to worship the deity with a stale or used flower. I, to spit while worshiping the deity. J, to advertise one's glory while worshiping the deity. K, to apply tilak to one's forehead in a curved way. L, to enter the temple without having washed one's feet. M, to offer the deity food cooked by an uninitiated person. N, to worship the deity and offer bhoga to the deity within the vision of an uninitiated person or non-Vaishnava. O, to offer worship to the deity without worshiping Vaikuntha deities like Ganesh. P, to worship the deity while perspiring. Q, to refuse flowers offered to the deity. R, to take a vow or oath in the holy name of the Lord. If one commits any of the above offenses, one must read at least one chapter of Bhagavad Gita. This is confirmed in the Skanda Purana of Antikanda. Similarly, there is another injunction stating that one who reads 1,000 names of Vishnu can be released from all offenses. In the same Skanda Purana, Reva Kanda, it is said that one who recites prayers to Tulsi or sows a Tulsi seed is also freed from all offenses. Similarly, one who worships the Shalagram Shila can also be relieved of offenses. In the Brahmanda Purana, it is said that one who worships Lord Vishnu, whose four hands bear a conch shell, disc, lotus, flower, and club, can be relieved from the above offenses. In the Adi Varaha Purana, it is said that a worshipper who has committed offenses may fast for one day at the holy place known as Shaukarava, and then bathe in the Ganges.
Yes, sir. Microphone. Stop.
Similarly, one who worships the Shalagram Shila can also be relieved of offenses. I am under the understanding that you get full reaction for offenses in worshiping Shalagram Shila.
I talked to Krishna Kshetra Maharaj many years ago when he was living in near the Radharaman temple. He was doing his thesis paper on Archan. And I interviewed him for a couple hours and we talked a lot about Archan, and one of the things I asked him was about Shalagram worship. And he said actually it's very misunderstood. And he said that Shalagram is the most malleable form, deity form of the Lord, because he'll the worship, the mood of worship the devotee has, and he'll adapt himself to it, whatever it may be. And also, Prabhupada meant, and he said the same thing as is mentioned here. He's a mercy form of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions this in a couple places in his books, that he's the most merciful form of the Lord because he avails himself. He can fit right in your hand. He'll travel with you wherever you want to go. You can worship him as the deity, whatever deity form you have in mind. He'll adapt himself to that. And the idea that your house will burn down if you you look at Shalagram the wrong way or something like that is not substantiated. Is insubstantiated.
Isn't substantiated.
It hasn't been substantiated. It's insubstantiated.
So exactly what it means is that one who worships Shalagram can also be relieved of offenses.
It means if you
worship the Shalagram Shila, then you'll be relieved of offenses in worshiping the deity. Just as is mentioned here, when you worship the Lord in the form of Narayan, you get free from offenses. Or you can chant the whole Vishnu Sahasranam every day. Or you can chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day. Or you can do all four of them.
It takes about 40 minutes. 40 minutes.
I think maybe I'm not the only one. There's a lot of restraining myself from asking a lot of questions about all those different offenses, but just at least one I'd like to ask is
red and blue?
No. Not the red and blue one. That one I've talked about before, but I like to talk. What's that? No, not the blanket one. Worshipping the Lord in the afternoon. How is that an offense?
Your morning puja, that's all it means.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're lazy and you don't do your morning puja. Lazy and you don't do your morning puja,
so he's like, I'll worship him later in the afternoon.
Also, the Lord takes a nap in the afternoon. One o'clock until afternoon means afternoon, means 1 o'clock until, yeah. In the process of worshiping the deity, it is sometimes enjoined that one worship the deity within the mind. In the Padma Purana, Uttarakhanda,
it is said, all persons can generally worship within the mind. The Gotamiya Tantra states, for a sannyasi who has no home, worship of the deity within the mind is recommended. In the Narada Pancharatra, it is stated by Lord Narayana that worship of the deity within the mind is called Manasa Puja. One can become free from the four miseries by this method. Sometimes worship from the mind can be independently executed. According to the instruction of Avihotra Muni, one of the Navayogendras, as mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, one may worship the deity by chanting all the mantras. Eight kinds of deities are mentioned in the Shastras, and the mental deity is one of them. In this regard, the following description is given in the Brahma Vaivarta Purana. In the city of Pratisthanapura, long ago, there resided a Brahmana who was poverty-stricken, but innocent, and not dissatisfied. One day he heard the discourse in an assembly of Brahmanas concerning how to worship the deity in the temple. In that meeting, he also heard that the deity may be worshipped within the mind. After this incident, the Brahmana, having bathed in the Godavari River, began mentally worshipping the deity. He would wash the temple within his mind, and then in his imagination, he would bring water from all the sacred rivers in golden and silver water pots. He collected all kinds of valuable paraphernalia for worship, and he worshipped the deity very gorgeously, beginning from bathing the deity and ending with offering arati. Thus he felt great happiness. After many years had passed in this way, one day within his mind, he cooked nice sweet rice with ghee to worship the deity. He placed the sweet rice on a golden dish and offered it to Lord Krishna. But he felt that the sweet rice was very hot, and therefore he touched it with his finger. He immediately felt that his finger had been burned by the hot sweet rice, and thus he began to lament. While the Brahmana was in pain, Lord Vishnu and Vaikuntha began smiling, and the goddess of fortune inquired from the Lord why he was smiling. Lord Vishnu then ordered his associates to bring the Brahmana to Vaikuntha. Thus the Brahmana attained the liberation of Samipya, the facility of living near the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Number 6, Vandanam. Although prayers are a part of deity worship, they may be considered separately like the other items, such as hearing and chanting, and therefore separate statements are given herewith. The Lord has unlimited transcendental qualities and opulences, and one who feels influenced by the Lord's qualities in various activities offers prayers to the Lord. In this way he becomes successful. In this connection, the following are some of the offenses to be avoided. To offer obeisances on one hand. B. To offer obeisances with one's body covered. C. To show one's back to the deity. D. To offer obeisances on the left side of the deity. E. To offer obeisances very near the deity. 7. Dasyam. There is the following statement in regard to assisting the Lord as a servant. After many, many thousands of births, when one comes to the understanding that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, one can deliver others from this universe. If one simply continues to think that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, even without performing any other process of devotional service, he can attain full success. For simply by this feeling, one can perform all 9 processes of devotional service.
Pras had a comment. He said, Hari Bol. 8. Sakyam. In regard to worshipping the Lord as a friend, the Agastya Samhita, the what? States that a devotee engaged in performing devotional service by Shravanam and Kirtanam sometimes wants to see the Lord personally, and for this purpose he resides in the temple. Elsewhere there is this statement, O my Lord, Supreme Personality, and Eternal Friend, although you are full of bliss and knowledge, you have become the friend of the residents of Vrindavan. How fortunate are those devotees? Are these devotees? In this statement, the word friend is specially used to indicate intense love. Friendship, therefore, is better than servitude. In the stage above Dasya Ras, the devotee accepts the Supreme Personality of God as a friend. This is not at all astonishing, for when a devotee is pure in heart, the opulence of his worship of the deity diminishes as spontaneous love for the Supreme Personality of God it is manifested. In this regard, Sridhar Swami mentions Sri Dhamma Vipra, who Sudama, it's Sri Dhamma here, but now it's been properly corrected as Sudama Vipra, who expressed to himself his feelings of obligation, thinking, life after life, may I be connected with Krishna in this friendly attitude. 9. Atma Nivedanam. The word Atma Nivedanam refers to the stage at which one who has no motive other than to serve the Lord surrenders everything to the Lord and performs his activities only to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Such a devotee is like a cow that is cared for by its master. When cared for by its master, a cow is not in anxiety over its maintenance. Such a cow is always devoted to its master, and it never acts independently, but only for the master's benefit. Some devotees, therefore, consider dedication of the body to the Lord to be Atma Nivedana. And as stated in the book known as Bhakti Viveka, sometimes dedication of the soul to the Lord is called Atma Nivedana. The best examples of Atma Nivedana are found in Bali Maharaj and Ambarish Maharaj. Atma Nivedana is also sometimes found in the behavior of Rukmini Devi at Dwarka. 25. After hearing these words of devotional service from the mouth of his son Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry. His lips trembling, he spoke as follows to Shunda, the son of his guru, Shukracharya.
26. O unqualified, most heinous son of a brahmana, you have disobeyed my order and taken shelter of the party of my enemies. You have taught this poor boy about devotional service. What is this nonsense? Purport. In this verse, the word asaram, meaning having no substance, is significant. For a demon, there is no substance in the process of devotional service. But to a devotee, devotional service is the only essential factor in life. Since Hiranyakashipu did not like devotional service, the essence of life, he chastised Prahlad Maharaj's teachers with harsh words. 27. In due course of time, various types of diseases are manifest in those who are sinful. Similarly, in this world, there are many deceptive friends in false garbs. But eventually, because of their false behavior, their actual enmity becomes manifest. Purport. Being anxious about the education of his boy Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu was very much dissatisfied. When Prahlad began teaching about devotional service, Hiranyakashipu immediately regarded the teachers as his enemies in the garb of friends. In this verse, the words roga patakinam eva refer to disease, which is the most sinful and miserable of the conditions of material life, janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi. Disease is the symptom of the body of a sinful person. The Smriti Shastras say, brahmahak chayarogi syat surapang shavanandakaha swarvanasukong Swarnahari Tukanuki Dushdharma Guru Talbakaha. Murderers of Brahmanas are later afflicted by tuberculosis, drunkards become toothless, those who have stolen gold are afflicted by diseased nails, the sinful men who have sexual connections with the wife of a superior are afflicted by leprosy and similar skin diseases. Text 28. the son of Shukracharya, Hiranyakashipu's spiritual master, said, "O enemy of King Indra, O king, whatever your son Prahlad has said was not taught to him by me or anyone else. His spontaneous devotional service has naturally developed in him. Therefore, please give up your anger and do not unnecessarily accuse us. It is not good to insult a Brahmana in this way." 29. Sri Narada Muni continued, "When Hiranyakashipu received this reply from the teacher, he again addressed his son Prahlad. Hiranyakashipu said, 'You rascal, most fallen of our family, if you have not received this education from your teachers, where have you gotten it?'" Purport. Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that devotional service is actually Bhadra Sati, not Abhadra Asati. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that devotional service is actually Bhadrasati, not Abhadrasati. In other words, knowledge of devotional service can be neither inauspicious nor contrary to etiquette. To learn devotional service is the duty of everyone. Therefore, the spontaneous education of Prahlad Maharaj is supported as auspicious and perfect. Text 30. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Because of their uncontrolled senses, Sri Praraduvacha Matirna Krishna Paratak Svatova Mitopi Pijiti Grihapratanam Adantago Bir Tachitam Tamishram Punak Punas Charvita Charvananam Punak punas charvita charvananam. Punak punas charvita charvananam." Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed." Progress, make progress. Did I say make progress? Oh, God. Prahlad Maharaj replied, "Because of their uncontrolled senses, persons too addicted to materialistic life make progress toward hellish conditions and repeatedly chew that which has already been chewed. Their inclinations toward Krishna are never aroused, either by the instructions of others, by their own efforts, or by a combination of both." Purport. In this verse, the words matir na krishne refer to devotional service rendered to Krishna. So-called politicians, erudite scholars and philosophers who read Bhagavad Gita try to twist some meaning from it to suit their material purposes. But their misunderstandings of Krishna will not yield them any profit. Because such politicians, philosophers, and scholars are interested in using Bhagavad Gita as a vehicle for adjusting things materially, for them constant thought of Krishna or Krishna consciousness is impossible. Matir na krishne. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, bhaktyamam abhijanati, only through devotional service can one understand Krishna as he is. The so-called politicians and scholars think of Krishna as fictitious. The politician says that his Krishna is different from the Krishna depicted in Bhagavad Gita. Even though he accepts Krishna and Rama as the supreme, he thinks of Rama and Krishna as impersonal because he has no idea of service to Krishna. Thus, his only business is punat punas charvita charvananam, chewing the chewed again and again. The aim of such politicians and academic scholars is to enjoy this material world with their bodily senses. Therefore, it is clearly stated here that those who are grihavrata, whose only aim is to live comfortably with the body in the material world, cannot understand Krishna. The two expressions, grihavrata and charvita
charvananam indicate that a materialistic person tries to enjoy sense gratification in different bodily forms, life after life, but is still unsatisfied. In the name of personalism, this-ism or that-ism, such persons always remain attached to the materialistic way of life, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 2:44. Bhogaishvarya prasaktanam taya parita chetasam vyavisayat mika buddhi bando navadiyate in the mind navadiyate samadha navadiyate in the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination for devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. Those who are attached to material enjoyment cannot be fixed in devotional service to the Lord. They cannot understand Bhagavan, Krishna, or his instruction, Bhagavad Gita. Adanta gobir bishatam tamishram. Their path actually leads towards hellish life. As confirmed by Rishabhadev, Mahatsevam dvara mahavimuktes. One must try to understand Krishna by serving a devotee. The word Mahat refers to a devotee. Mahatmanastamam partha daivim prakritim ashritaha bhajantyamana manaso jatva bhutadam advayam jatva bhutadam advayam jatva bhutadam avyayam. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. A Mahatma is one who is constantly engaged in devotional service 24 hours a day. As explained in the following verses, unless one adheres to such a great personality, one cannot understand Krishna. Hiranyakashipu wanted to know where Prahlad had gotten this Krishna consciousness. Who had taught him? Prahlad sarcastically replied, "My dear father, persons like you never understand Krishna. One can understand Krishna only by serving a Mahat, a great soul. Those who try to adjust material conditions are said to be chewing the chewed. No one has been able to adjust material conditions, but life after life, generation after generation, people try and repeatedly fail. Unless one is properly trained by a Mahat, a Mahatma, or unalloyed devotee of the Lord, there is no possibility of understanding Krishna as Vojasar." I'd like to, I think the verse that we just did was an important one. Oh yeah, we did. We already did it. Okay.
Sorry.
Nati vidu swarta katim hi vishnum darashaya ye bahar artamanina andayatander upayina manas Te pisha tantram urudam nibada. Te pisha tantram urudam nibada. Persons who are strongly entrapped by the consciousness of enjoying material life and who have therefore accepted as their leader or guru a similarly blind man attached to external sense objects cannot understand that the goal of life is to return home back to Godhead and engage in the service of Lord Vishnu. As blind men guided by another blind man miss the right path and fall into a ditch, materially attached men led by another materially attached man are bound by the ropes of fruit of labor, which are made of very strong cords, and they continue again and again in materialistic life, suffering the threefold miseries. Purport, since there must always be a difference of opinion between demons and devotees, Hiranyakashipu, when criticized by his son Prahlad Maharaj, should not have been surprised that Prahlad Maharaj differed from his way of life. Nonetheless, Hiranyakashipu was extremely angry and wanted to rebuke his son for deriding his teacher or spiritual master, who had been born in the Brahmana family of the great Acharya, Shukracharya. The word Shukra means semen, and Acharya refers to a teacher or guru. Hereditary gurus, or spiritual masters, have been accepted everywhere since time immemorial. But Prahlad Maharaj declined to accept such a seminal guru or take instruction from him. An actual guru is Kshatriya, one who has heard or received perfect knowledge through parampara, the disciplic succession. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not recognize a seminal spiritual master. Such spiritual masters are not at all interested in Vishnu. Indeed, they are hopeful of material success. Bahir Artamanino. The word bahi means external. Artha means interest, and manima means taking very seriously. Generally speaking, practically everyone is unaware of the spiritual world. The knowledge of the materialist is restricted within the 4 billion mile limit of this material world, which is in the dark portion of the creation. They do not know that beyond the material world is the spiritual world. Unless one is a devotee of the Lord, one cannot understand the existence of the spiritual world. Gurus, teachers, who are simply interested in this material world are described in this verse as andha, blind. Such blind men may lead many other blind followers. Such blind men may lead many other blind followers without true knowledge of material conditions. But they are not accepted by devotees like Prahlad Maharaj. Such blind teachers, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material desire, of material nature. Such blind leaders, being interested in the external material world, are always bound by the strong ropes of material nature. 32 together. Naisham Matista Vadaru Kraman Grim Sri Shartyanartha Pagamo Yadartha Mahiya Samparajo Bishekam Niskinchananam Navranita Yavad Niskinchananam Navranita Yavad Niskinchananam Navranita Yavad. Unless they smear upon their bodies the dust of the lotus feet of a Vaishnav, completely freed from material contamination, persons very much inclined toward materialistic life cannot be attached to the lotus feet of the Lord, who is glorified for his uncommon activities. Only by becoming Krishna conscious and taking shelter at the lotus feet of the Lord in this way can one be freed from material contamination. Purport: becoming Krishna conscious brings about anartha apagamaha, the disappearance of all anartas, the miserable conditions we have unnecessarily accepted. The material body is the basic principle of these unwanted miserable conditions. The entire Vedic civilization these unwanted miseries, but persons bound by the laws of nature do not know the destination of life. As described in the previous verse, Isha Tantram Urudam Nibadha. They are conditioned by the three strong ropes of material nature. They are conditioned by the three strong modes of material nature. The education that keeps the conditioned soul bound life after life is called materialistic education. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has explained that materialistic education expands the influence of maya. Such an education induces the conditioned soul to be increasingly attracted to materialistic life and to stray further and further away from liberation from unwanted miseries. One may ask why highly educated persons do not take to Krishna consciousness. The reason is explained in this verse. Unless one takes shelter of a bona fide, fully Krishna-conscious spiritual master, there is no chance of understanding Krishna. The educators, scholars, and big political leaders worshipped by millions of people cannot understand the goal of life and take to Krishna consciousness, for they have not accepted a bona fide spiritual master and the Vedas. Therefore, in the Mundaka Upanishad, it is said, Nayamatma pravachanena labhyo na melhayana bahunha shrutena. One cannot become self-realized simply by having an academic education, by presenting lectures in an erudite way, pravachanena labhya, or by being an intelligent scientist who discovers many wonderful things. One cannot understand Krishna unless one is graced by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Only one who has surrendered to a pure devotee of Krishna and taken the dust of his lotus feet can understand Krishna. First, one must understand how to get out of the clutches of Maya. The only means is to become Krishna conscious. And to become Krishna conscious very easily, one must take shelter of a realized soul, a Mahat or Mahatma, whose only interest is to engage in the service of the Supreme Lord. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 9.13, Mahatmanastu mam partha daivim prakritim ashitaha vajantyananya manaso gyatva bhutidim avyayam gyatva bhutidim avyayam gyatva bhutidim avyayam. O son of Vritta, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are under the protection of the divine nature. They are fully engaged in devotional service because they know me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, original and inexhaustible. Therefore, to end the unwanted miseries of life, one must become a devotee. Yasyasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sarvar gunastatra samasate sura. One who has unflinching devotional faith in Krishna consistently manifests all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods. The great overture of 5.18.12. Yasya devi parabhaktir yata devi tata garau tasyaite katita hirta prakashante mahatmanaha prakashante mahatmanaha prakashante mahatmanaha. Only unto those great souls who have implicit faith in both the Lord and the spiritual master are all the imports of Vedic knowledge automatically revealed from the Shvetashvatara Upanishad. From which Upanishad?
Shvetashvatara.
Correct. Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tashyaisha atma vrinute tanum swam. The Lord is obtained only by one whom he himself chooses. To such a person he manifests his own form. From Mundaka Upanishad. Which Upanishad?
Mundaka.
Correct. These are Vedic injunctions. One must take shelter of a self-realized spiritual master, not a materially educated scholar or politician. One must take shelter of an askinchana, a person engaged in devotional service and free from material contamination. That is the way to return home, back to Godhead. 33. After Prahlad Maharaj had spoken in this way and become silent, Hiranyakashipu, blinded by anger, threw him off his lap and onto the ground. Call the police. Indignant and angry, his reddish eyes like molten copper, Hiranyakashipu said to his servants, "O demons, take this boy away from me. He deserves to be killed. Kill him as soon as possible." 35. This boy Prahlad is the killer of my brother, for he has given up his family to engage in the devotional service of the enemy, Lord Vishnu, like a menial servant. Purport. Hiranyakashipu considered his son Prahlad Maharaj to be the killer of his brother because Prahlad Maharaj was engaged in the devotional service of Lord Vishnu. In other words, Prahlad Maharaj would be elevated to Sarupya liberation, and in that sense, he resembled Lord Vishnu. Therefore, Prahlad was to be killed by Hiranyakashipu. Devotees, Vaishnavas, attain the liberations of Sarupya, Salokya, Sarishti, and Samipya. Whereas the Mayavadis are supposed to attain the liberation known as Sayuja. Sayuja Mukti, however, is not very secure, whereas Sarupya Mukti, Salokya Mukti, Sarishti Mukti and Samipya Mukti are most certain. Although the servants of Lord Vishnu, Narayana, in the Vaikuntha planets are equally situated with the Lord, the devotees there, know very well that the Lord is the master, whereas they are servants. And that brings us to the cow break. We'll see you all back here at 15 minutes after 5. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Although Prahlad is only 5 years old, even at this young age, he has given up his affectionate relationship with his father and mother. Therefore, he is certainly untrustworthy. Indeed, it is not at all believable that he will behave well toward Vishnu. 37. Although a medicinal herb being born in the forest does not belong to the same category as a man, if beneficial, it is kept very carefully. Similarly, if someone outside one's family is favorable, he should be given protection like a son. On the other hand, if a limb of one's body is poisoned by disease, it must be amputated so that the rest of body may live happily. Similarly, even if one's own son, if unfavorable, must be rejected, although born of one's own body. Purport, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has instructed all devotees of the Lord to be humbler than the grass and more tolerant than trees. Otherwise, there will always be disturbances to their execution of devotional service. Here is a vivid example of how a devotee is disturbed by a non-devotee, even though the non-devotee is an affectionate father. The material world is such that a non-devotee father becomes an enemy of a devotee son. Having determined to kill even his son, Hiranyakashipu gave the example of amputating a part of one's body that has become septic and therefore injurious to the rest of the body. The same example, of course, may also be applied to non-devotees. Chanakya Pandit advises, Tyajya Jordana Sangshargam Bhajasadhu Samagamam. Devotees actually serious about advancing in spiritual life should give up the company of non-devotees and always keep company with devotees. To be too attached to material existence is ignorance, because material existence is temporary and miserable. Therefore, devotees who are determined to perform tapasya, penances and austerities, to realize the self, and who are determined to become advanced in spiritual consciousness, must give up the company of atheistic non-devotees. Prahlad Maharaj maintained an attitude of non-cooperation with the philosophy of his father, Hiranyakashipu, yet he was tolerant and humble. Hiranyakashipu, however, being a non-devotee, was so polluted that he was even prepared to kill his own son. He justified this by putting forward the logic of amputation. The logic of amputation. Text 38. Just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaged in advancing in spiritual life, this Prahlad, who appears to be a friend, is an enemy because I cannot control him. Therefore, this enemy, whether eating, sitting, or sleeping, must be killed by all means. Purport. Hiranyakashipu planned a campaign to kill Prahlad Maharaj. He would kill his son by administering poison to him while he was eating, by making him sit in boiling oil, or by throwing him under the feet of an elephant while he was lying down. Thus Hiranyakashipu decided to kill his innocent son, child, who was only 5 years old, simply because the boy had become a devotee of the Lord. This is the attitude of non-devotees toward devotees. The sharp teeth and reddish, coppery beards and hair, and they appeared extremely threatening, making a tumultuous sound, shouting, "Chop him up! Pierce him!" They began striking Prahlad Maharaj, who sat silently meditating upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead.
41. Even though a person who has no assets and pious activities performs some good deed, it will have no result. Thus, the weapons of the demons had no tangible effects upon Prahlad Maharaj because he was a devotee undisturbed by material conditions and fully engaged in meditating upon and serving the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is unchangeable, who cannot be realized by the material senses, and who is the soul of the entire universe. Purport. Prahlad Maharaj was constantly and fully engaged in thought of Godhead. As it is said, Govinda Parirambita, Prahlad Maharaj engaged himself always in meditation, and thus he was protected by Govinda. Just as a small child on the lap of his father or mother is fully protected, a devotee in all conditions is protected by the Supreme Lord. Does this mean that when Prahlad Maharaj was attacked by the demons, the Rakshasas, Govinda, was also attacked by the demons? This is not possible. There have been many attempts by the demons to hurt or kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he cannot be injured by any material means because he is always in transcendence. Therefore, the words Paribrahmani are used here. The demons, the Rakshasas, can never see nor touch the Supreme Lord, can neither see nor touch the Supreme Lord. Although they may superficially think that they are striking the Lord's transcendental body with their material weapons. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is described in this verse as Anirdish Deshye. We can understand him to be in a particular place, for he is all pervasive. Moreover, he is Akilatma, the active principle of everything, even material weapons. Those who cannot understand the position of the Lord are unfortunate. They may think that they can kill the Supreme Personality of Godhead and his devotee, but all their attempts will be futile. The Lord knows how to deal with them. 42. My dear King Yudhishthira, when all the attempts of the demons to kill Prahlad Maharaj were futile, the king of the demons, Hiranyakashipu, being most fearful, began contriving other means to kill him. 43-44. Hiranyakashipu could not kill his son by throwing him beneath the feet of big elephants, throwing him among huge, fearful snakes, employing destructive spells, hurling him from the top of a hill, conjuring up illusory tricks, administering poison, starving him, exposing him to severe cold, winds, fire, and water, or throwing heavy stones to crush him. When Hiranyakashipu found that he could not in any way harm Prahlad, who was completely sinless, he was in great anxiety about what to do next. 45. Hiranyakashipu thought, I've used many ill names in chastising this boy Prahlad, and have devised many means of killing him. But despite all my endeavors, he could not be killed. Indeed, he saved himself by his own powers, without being affected in the least by these treacheries and abominable actions.
Text 46. Treacherous and abominable actions. Text 46. Although he is very near to me and is merely a child, he is situated in complete fearlessness. He resembles a dog's curved tail, which can never be straightened, because he never forgets my misbehavior and his connection with his master, Lord Vishnu. Purport. The word shuna means of a dog, and shepa means tail. The example is ordinary. However one may try to straighten a dog's tail, it is never straight, but always curved. Shunak Shepa is the name of the second son of Ajigartha. He was sold to Harishchandra, but he later took shelter of Vishwamrita, Harishchandra's enemy, and never left his side. Text 47. I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited. He has not feared any of my punishment. I can see that this boy's... I can see that this boy's strength is unlimited, for he has not feared
any of my punishments, he appears immortal. Therefore, because of my enmity toward him, I shall die. Or maybe this will not take place. 48. Thinking in this way, the king of the Daityas, morose and bereft of bodily luster, remained silent with his face downward. Then Shanda and Amarka, the two sons of Shukracharya, spoke to him in secret. O Lord, we know that when you simply move your eyebrows, all the commanders of the various planets are most afraid. Without the help of any assistant, you have conquered all the three worlds. Therefore, we do not find any reason for you to be morose and full of anxiety. As for Prahlad, he is nothing but a child and cannot be a cause of anxiety. After all, his bad or good qualities have no value. 50. Until the return of our spiritual master, Shukracharya, arrest this child with the ropes of Varuna so that he will not flee in fear. In any case, by the time he is somewhat grown up and has assimilated our instructions or served our spiritual master, he will change in his intelligence. Thus there is no need, thus there need be no cause for anxiety.
After hearing these instructions of Shanda and Amarka, the sons of his spiritual master, Hiranyakashipu agreed and requested them to instruct Prahlad in that system of occupational duty which is followed by royal householder families. Purport, Hiranyakashipu wanted Prahlad Maharaj to be trained as a diplomatic king in ruling the kingdom, the country, or the world, but not to be advised about renunciation or the renounced order of life. The word dharma here does not refer to some religious faith. As clearly stated, dharmo yasyo padesh tavyo rajnam yo grihamedinam. There are two kinds of royal families, one whose members are simply attached to household life, and the other consisting of rajarshis, kings who govern with ruling power but are as good as great saints. Prahlad Maharaj wanted to become a rajarshi, whereas Hiranyakashipu wanted him to become a king attached to sense enjoyment, grihamedinam. Therefore, in the Aryan system, there is the varnashrama dharma, by which everyone should be educated according to his position and social division of varna, brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, and shudra, and ashrama, brahmacharya, grihastha, vanaprastha, and sannyas. A devotee purified by devotional service is always in the transcendental position above the mundane qualities. Thus, the difference between Prahlad Maharaj and Hiranyakashipu was that Hiranyakashipu wanted to keep Prahlad in mundane attachment, whereas Prahlad was above the modes of material nature. As long as one is under the control of material nature, his occupational duty is different from that of a person not under such control. One's real dharma or occupational duty is described in Srimad Bhagavatam, dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat praniyitam, as described in his order to his order carriers by Dharmaraj or Yamaraj. A living being is a spiritual identity, and therefore his occupational duty is also spiritual. The real dharma is that which is advised in Bhagavad Gita. Sarva dharmam parityaja mam ekam sharanam braja. One must give up one's material occupational duties, just as one must give up his material body. Whatever one's occupational duty, even according to the Varnashrama system, one must give it up and engage in one's spiritual function. One's real dharma or occupational duty is explained by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Jivera Swarupai Krishnera Nityadas. Every living being is the eternal servant of Krishna. That is one's real occupational duty. 52. Thereafter, Shanda and Amarka systematically and unceasingly taught Prahlad Maharaj, who was very submissive and humble, about mundane religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Purport. There are four processes for human society, dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, and they culminate in liberation. Human society must follow a process of religion to advance, and on the basis of religion, one should try to develop his economic condition so that he can fulfill his needs for sense gratification according to the religious rules and regulations. Then liberation from material bondage will be easier to attain. That is the Vedic process. When one is above the stages of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, one becomes a devotee. He is then on the platform from which he is guaranteed not to fall again to material existence. Yud gut va nanivartante. As advised in Bhagavad Gita, if one transcends these four processes and is actually liberated, one engages in devotional service. Then he is guaranteed not to fall to material existence again. 53. The teachers Shunda and Amarka instructed Prahlad Maharaj in the three kinds of material advancement called religion, economic development, and sense gratification. Prahlad, however, being situated above such instructions, did not like them, for such instructions are based on the duality of worldly affairs, which involve one in a materialistic way of life marked by birth, death, old age, and disease. Purport. The entire world is interested in the materialistic way of life. Indeed, practically 99.9% of the people in the three worlds are interested in spiritual education. Only the devotees of the Lord, headed by such great personalities as Narada Muni, are interested in the real education of spiritual life, principles of religion while staying on the material platform. Therefore, one must follow these great personalities, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 6.320, Swayambhur Nashambhu Kumara Kupilo Manu Prahlado Janako Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam Balir Vaya Sakir Vayam. One must follow in the footsteps of such great personalities as Lord Brahma, Narada, Lord Shiva, Kapila Manu, the Kumaras, Prahlad Maharaj, Bhishma, Janak, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. Those interested in spiritual life should follow Prahlad Maharaj in rejecting the education of religion, economic development, and sense gratification. One should be interested in spiritual education. Therefore, the Krishna consciousness movement is spreading all over the world, following in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj, who did not like any of the materialistic education he received from his teachers. 54. When the teachers went home to attend to their household affairs, the students of the same age as Prahlad Maharaj would call him to take the opportunity of leisure hours for play. Purport. In tiffin hours, the hours when the teachers were absent from the classroom, the students called Prahlad Maharaj wanting to play with him. As will be seen from the following verses, however, Prahlad Maharaj was not very much interested in playing. Instead, he wanted to utilize every moment for advancing in Krishna consciousness. Therefore, as indicated in this verse by the word Krita Shanai, at the opportune moment when it was possible to preach about Krishna consciousness, Prahlad Maharaj used the time as follows. 55. Prahlad Maharaj, who was truly the supreme learned person, then addressed his class friends in very sweet language. Smiling, he began to teach them about the uselessness of the materialistic way of life. Being very kind to them, he instructed them as follows. Purport, Prahlad Maharaj's smiling is very significant. The other students were very much advanced in enjoying materialistic life through religion, economic development, and sense gratification. But Prahlad Maharaj laughed at them, knowing that this was not actual happiness. For real happiness is advancement in Krishna consciousness. The duty of those who follow in the footsteps of Prahlad Maharaj is to teach the entire world how to be Krishna conscious and thus be really happy. Materialistic persons take to so-called religion to get some blessings so that they can improve their economic position and enjoy the material world through sense gratification. But devotees like Prahlad Maharaj laugh at how foolish they are to be busy in a temporary life without knowledge of the soul's transmigration from one body to another. Materialistic persons are engaged in striving for temporary benefits, whereas persons advanced in spiritual knowledge, such as Prahlad Maharaj, are not interested in the materialistic way of life. Instead, they want to be elevated to an eternal life of knowledge and bliss. Therefore, as Krishna is always compassionate to fallen souls, to the fallen souls, his servants, the devotees of Lord Krishna, are also interested in educating the entire populace in Krishna consciousness. The mistake of materialistic life is understood by devotees, and therefore they smile upon it, considering it insignificant. Out of compassion, however, such devotees preach the gospel of Bhagavad Gita all over the world.
56 and 57. Daily double. My dear King Yudhishthir, all the children were very much affectionate and respectful to Prahlad Maharaj, and because of their tender age, they were not so polluted by the instructions and actions of their teachers, who were attached to condemned duality and bodily comfort. Thus the boys surrounded Prahlad Maharaj, giving up their playthings, and sat down to hear him. Their hearts and eyes being fixed upon him, they looked at him with great earnestness. Prahlad Maharaj, although born in a demon family, was an exalted devotee, and he desired their welfare. Thus he began instructing them about the futility of materialistic life. Purport. The words Bala Adushchitajya indicate that the children, being of a tender age, were not as polluted by materialistic life as their fathers. Prahlad Maharaj, therefore, taking advantage of the innocence of his class friends, began teaching them about the importance of spiritual life and the insignificance of materialistic life. Although the teachers, Shanda and Amarka, were instructing all the boys in the materialistic way of a life of religion, economic development, and sense gratification, the boys were not much polluted. Therefore, with great attention, they wanted to hear from Prahlad Maharaj about Krishna consciousness. In our Krishna consciousness movement, the Gurukula plays an extremely important part in our activities, because right from childhood, the boys at the Gurukula are instructed about Krishna consciousness. Thus they become steady within the cores of their hearts, and there is very little possibility they will be conquered by the modes of material nature when they are older. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 7th canto, 5th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prahlad Maharaj, the saintly son of Hiranyakashipu.
Reflections. I like what Srila Prabhupada mentioned about the scholars and speculators and how they can't enter into the Bhagavad Gita. And he said that they may accept Rama and Krishna, but they accept them in an impersonal way because they have no idea of service. It just highlighted for me that without service, Krishna and Balaram and all the forms of Godhead become, they remain theoretical and two-dimensional. There's no substance to them. We can talk about them, but there's no relationship, nothing.
In 1976, I believe it was, the devotees who first started going around and doing college programs, I think it was Satsang Maharaj, Ridananda Maharaj, and a few others, they started touring, and they had a certain circuit. And they came to Prabhupada, and it was, I think, during it might have been during that Bhaktivedanta Institute meeting that they had. There was a, discussion. It's in the database, and they were saying that they noticed that when they went in this tour. And they had been doing it now for like 4 years, from 72, when Satsarupa Maharaj and Ridananda took sannyas in L.A. for about 4 years, they've been going in the same circuit. And they noticed, they said, that the freshmen were more innocent and receptive. And the seniors, by the time they went through that 4 years, they were really difficult to talk to, difficult to... So I was just, you know, noting that here it said that the students were innocent and therefore they wanted to hear. And I was thinking also that we're having some success in the local colleges, what is it? The not junior, community colleges, and ISV, when you're going out and doing the I've been noticing, because I see, you know, I get the reports, and I see the, you know, the students that are taking books and how successful they are doing them there, and in terms of numbers of books and people who are interested. And again, I was just thinking, as I've been thinking for the last few years, if we invest our energy where it's people are more receptive, and that may be one of the criterion that is mentioned here in this part of the Bhagavatam, you know, to talk to people who are not so, you know, polluted, not so contaminated.
Other reflections?
I find it disconcerting that Hiranyakasipu says, just as uncontrolled senses are the enemies of all yogis engaging, advancing in spiritual life. This Prahlad, you know, is trying to accuse him. But he's speaking, he knows what uncontrolled senses are and what a yogi is, and still he looks like it doesn't affect him positively. How is that possible that somebody would talk like that?
Yeah, it's a similar point that's made about Jarasandha. And Prabhupada makes that point about how Jarasandha knew the Vedic culture, knew everything about it, but still he was atheistic because he didn't believe in Krishna. And that no matter how much knowledge you have otherwise, when you're disconnected from that, it just becomes superficial, useless knowledge.
I was reading a little bit online earlier, and I was just curious because I missed the context of this, but I heard something come up about chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita every day, or how the chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita purifies you from some offenses. So could you just remind me and expound upon the glories and of chanting a chapter of Bhagavad Gita?
It's in our padati, our deity worship guides, that to nullify seva aparads, those offenses made when worshiping the deity, one should, or one can, chant one chapter of Bhagavad Gita a day. That was it. That was the context. Other points?
From the purport, the long purport to the verse about Sharadam Kirtanam, I liked how Prabhupada explained first that shortly in the beginning the different 9 items, and then went through all of them in detail and made it so clear, precise, in practical way. And specifically in the offenses section of the chanting, 10 offenses, that the 10th one was to not develop attachment to chanting. This is another way of saying I like that type of slight difference, but it's not to maintain material attachments, and this was to not develop attachment to chanting the holy name, is the 10th offense.
Yeah. It's one of the ways in which Niyamagraha is described, that it's illegal not to get a taste. And so it behooves the chanter to look into that. Why is it you're not getting a taste? Don't just assume that it's going to happen automatically, but you should take a care to figure out why is it I don't have a taste. Otherwise, you could be guilty of Niyamagraha.
Anything else? This is sufficient. And
of that you're mentioning, eagerness to surrender to Krishna is there, then one has to consider that person a devotee, even if all the others are absent. It's absent, but the person's not really a devotee.
Did you notice that?
Yeah.
In the you know, in enumeration of the different persons, that one was the shortest one, but it was the one that struck us.
Anything else? Okay. Yes. Last one.
I didn't know that the nine processes were described in this way, more like progressively. It said like once you hear and chant, then you can start remembering more, and then remembering more leads to Archanam. It's in the first like five, I think Prabhupada says, like in a progressive nature. I wasn't really aware of that. Maybe you could explain that a little more.
This progression is, I mean, it appears in many places, but one where it's explained more thoroughly is in the Nectar of Instruction, the verse in which Rupa Goswami says, Tanama Rupa Charitari Sukirtananu Smrityo Kramena Rasanama Nisinyoja Tishtan Vraje Tananuragi Jananugami Kalam Nayet Akilamitu Padesha Saram. That the essence of all advice is that one should engage one's full time 24 hours a day in nicely hearing, chanting, remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the purport, Prabhupada paraphrases Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary on this particular verse, and he gives technical terms for the ways, for the levels that one advances to, and they're all precipitated by hearing. And just by hearing regularly, then one progresses to the next level and the next level, and everything unfolds from that process. I mean, there are other places as well, like Satam Prasangam Amavirya Sambido Bhavanti Hritkarna Rasayana Kata Taj Joshanarashu Apavartmani Sharadatir Paktir Anukramishuti. And in that verse, Anukramishruti means anukrama, means step by step. These various, they're named in general categories, shraddha, rati, bhakti. One advances. And how? Because of hearing and chanting in the association of devotees. So it's, and of course, Prabhupada, when he was on the Jaladutta, mentioned, and in other places, for instance, the verse that he apparently quotes more, or that he spoke on more than any other verse in the Bhagavad Gita, which is 7.1. There in the purport, he gives the progression from the second chapter of the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with Shushrusho Shadadadha, and then Shrinvatam Swakata Krishna, then Nashta Praishu Bhadreshu, then Bidyate Hridaya Grantish, Evam Prasanna Manaso. These show the progression, and it all happens because of hearing and chanting, and that's something that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments on also in the Madhurya Kadambini and elsewhere. So it's fairly common, you know, the progression, but all is unlocked by the process of hearing and chanting.
Could you write that down and send it to me for my offering next year? That's exactly what my offering is going to be about next year. You just said it. You said my whole. Okay. Is it your turn or my turn? Technically,
it's my turn, but actually, because I love you so much,
but I can understand that you're attached to it.
Stevie Wonder could see what you're up to. Text number one. In the new chapter entitled Prahlad Instructs His Demoniac Schoolmates, chapter 6. Sri Prahlad Uvacha Komara Acharet Pragno Dharman Bhagavatamiha Dhurlabham Manusham Janma Tadapya Dhruvma Artadam
Tadapya dhruva martadam. Tadapya dhruva martadam. Prahlad Maharaj said, one who is sufficiently intelligent should use the human form of body from the very beginning of life, in other words, from the tender age of childhood, to practice the activities of devotional service, giving up all other engagements. The human body is most rarely achieved, and although temporary like other bodies, it is meaningful because in human life one can perform devotional service. Even a slight amount of sincere devotional service can give one complete perfection. Purport: the whole purpose of Vedic civilization and of reading the Vedas is to attain the perfect stage of devotional service in the human form of life. According to the Vedic system, therefore, from the very beginning of life, the Brahmacharya system is introduced, so that from one's very childhood, from the age of 5 years, one can practice modifying one's human activities so as to engage perfectly in devotional service. As confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 2.40, Swalpam apyasya dharmasya trayate mahato bhayat. Even a little advancement on this path can protect one from the most dangerous type of fear. Just a note about this sentence. It says, one can practice modifying one's human activities. That's a very instructive statement, isn't it? Modify, sir. Modern civilization, not referring to the verdicts of Vedic literature, is so cruel to the members of human society that instead of teaching children to become brahmacharis, it teaches mothers to kill their children even in the womb on the plea of curbing the increase of population. And if by chance a child is saved, he is educated only for sense gratification. Gradually, throughout the entire world, human society is losing interest in the perfection of life. Indeed, men are living like cats and dogs, spoiling the duration of their human lives by actually preparing to transmigrate again to the degraded species among the 8,400,000 species forms of life. The Krishna consciousness movement is anxious to serve human society by teaching people to perform devotional service, which can save a human being from being degraded again to animal life. As already stated by Prahlad Maharaj, Bhagavad Dharma consists of Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Dasyam, Sakyam, Atma, Nivedanam. In all the schools, colleges, and universities, and at home, all children and youths should be taught to hear about the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, they should be taught to hear the instructions of Bhagavad Gita, to put them into practice in their lives, and thus become strong in devotional service, free from fear of being degraded to animal life. Following Bhagavad Dharma has been made extremely easy in this age of Kali. The Shastra says, Harinama, Harinama, Harinama Vakevala, Kalau Nastyeva, 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 Gatiranyata. One need only chant the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. Everyone engaged in the practice of chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra will be completely cleansed from the core of his heart and be saved from the cycle of birth and death.
Text 2.
The human form of life affords one a chance to return home, back to Godhead. Therefore, every living entity, especially in the human form of life, must engage in devotional service to the lotus feet of Lord Vishnu. This devotional service is natural, because Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the most beloved, the master of the soul, and the well-wisher of all other living beings. Purport. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 5.12, if you notice how many, every purport Prabhupada chants, he quotes Bhagavad Gita throughout. Yeah, the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 5.29, Bhuktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Dam Sarabhutanam. The sages, knowing me as the ultimate purpose of all sacrifices and austerities, the supreme lord of all planets and demigods, and the benefactor and well-wisher of all living entities, attains peace from the pangs of material miseries. Simply by understanding these three facts, that the Supreme Lord Vishnu is the proprietor of the entire creation, that he is the best well-wishing friend of all living entities, and that he is the supreme enjoyer of everything, one becomes peaceful and happy. For this transcendental happiness, the living entity has wandered throughout the universe in different forms of life and different planetary systems, but because he has forgotten his intimate relationship with Vishnu, he has merely suffered life after life. Therefore, the educational system in the human form of life should be so perfect that one will understand his intimate relationship with God or Vishnu. Every living entity has an intimate relationship with God. One should therefore glorify the Lord in the adoration of Shantarasa, or revive his eternal relationship with Vishnu as a servant in Dasyarasa, a friend in Sakyarasa, a parent in Vatsalyarasa, or a conjugal lover in Madhuryarasa. All these relationships are on the platform of love. Vishnu is the center of love for everyone, and therefore the duty of everyone is to engage in the loving service of the Lord. As stated by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Yesha maham priya atma shtascha saka gurusurido naivam ishtam. In any form of life, we are related with Vishnu, who is the most beloved, the Supersoul, son, friend, and guru. Our eternal relationship with God can be revived in the human form of life, and that should be the goal of education. Indeed, that is the perfection of life and the perfection of education. Text 3. Dehin yogina dehinam sarvatra labhyate daivad yatha dukam mayatnataha yatha dukam yanatmanaha Yatadukam yatnanaha. Prahlad Maharaj continued, "My dear friends, born of demoniac families, the happiness perceived with reference to sense objects by contact with the body can be obtained in any form of life, according to one's past fruitive activities. Such happiness is automatically obtained without endeavor, just as we obtain distress." Purport. In the material world, in any form of life, there is some so-called happiness and so-called distress. No one invites distress in order to suffer, but still it comes. Similarly, even if we do not endeavor to obtain the advantages of material happiness, we shall obtain them automatically. This happiness and distress are obtainable in any form of life without endeavor. Thus, there is no need to waste time and energy fighting against distress or working very hard for happiness. Our only business in the human form of life should be to revive our relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead and thus become qualified to return home back to Godhead. Material happiness and distress come as soon as we accept the material body, regardless of what form. We cannot avoid such happiness and distress under any circumstances. The best use of human life, therefore, lies in reviving our relationship with the Supreme Lord, Vishnu. Text 4. Endeavors merely for sense gratification or material happiness through economic development are not to be performed, for they result only in a loss of time and energy with no actual profit. If one's endeavors are directed toward Krishna consciousness, one can surely attain the spiritual platform of self-realization. There is no such benefit from engaging oneself in economic development. Purport. We see materialistic persons busily engaged in economic development all day and night,
trying to increase their material opulence. But even if we suppose that they get some benefit from such endeavors, that does not solve the real problems of their lives. Nor do they know what the real problem of life is. This is due to a lack of spiritual education. Especially in the present age, every man is in darkness, in the bodily conception of life, not knowing anything of the spirit soul and its needs. Misguided by the blind leaders of society, people consider the body to be everything, and they are engaged in trying to keep the body materially comfortable. Such a civilization is condemned because it does not lead humanity toward knowing the real goal of life. People are simply wasting time and the valuable gift of the human form, because a human being who does not cultivate spiritual life but dies like the cats and dogs is degraded in his next life. From human life, such a person is put into the cycle of continuous birth and death. Thus one loses the true benefit of human life, which is to become Krishna conscious and solve life's problems. Text 5. Therefore, while in material existence, bhavam ashrita, a person fully competent to distinguish wrong from right, must endeavor to achieve the highest goal of life as long as the body is stout and strong and is not embarrassed by dwindling. Purport. As stated by Prahlad Maharaj at the beginning of this chapter, Komara Atridat Pragya. The word Pragya refers to one who is experienced and who can distinguish right from wrong. Such a person should not waste his energy and valuable human lifetime simply working like a cat or dog to develop his economic condition. For one word in this verse, there are two readings, bhavam ashrita and bhayam ashritaha. But accepting the meaning of either of them will bring one to the same conclusion. Bhayam ashrita indicates that the materialistic way of life is always fearful, because at every step there is danger. Materialistic life is full of anxieties and fear, bhayam. Similarly, accepting the reading bhavam ashrita, the word bhavam refers to unnecessary trouble and problems. For want of Krishna consciousness, one is put into bhavam, being perpetually embarrassed by birth, death, old age, and disease. Thus one is surely full of anxieties. Human society should be divided into a social system of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, but everyone can engage in devotional service. If one wants to live without devotional service, his status as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra certainly has no meaning. I'll repeat that. Very important. Human society should be divided into a social system of brahmanas, kshatriyas, vaishyas, and shudras, but everyone can engage in devotional service. If one wants to live without devotional service, his status as a brahmana, kshatriya, vaishya, or shudra certainly has no meaning. It is said, stanat brashta patantyaraha. Whether one is in a higher or a lower division, or lower division, one certainly falls down for want of Krishna consciousness. A sane man, therefore, is always fearful of falling from his position. This is a regulative principle. A sane man, therefore, is always fearful of falling from his position. This is a regulative principle. One should not fall from his exalted position. The highest goal of life can be achieved as long as one's body is stout and strong. We should therefore live in such a way that we keep ourselves always healthy and strong in mind and intelligence, so that we can distinguish the goal of life from a life full of problems. A thoughtful man must act in this way, learning to distinguish right from wrong, and thus attain
the goal of life. Six, every human being has a maximum duration of life of 100 years. But for one who cannot control his senses, half of those years are completely lost because at night he sleeps 12 hours being covered by ignorance. Therefore, such a person has a lifetime of only 50 years. So we made this app called Be a Sage Page by Page so you can count how many pages. But the next app I'd like to create, and you know we've made some inroads into this, we have, is that there are several factors. Of course, insurance companies do this all the time. They'll ask you various questions which will help to determine an average lifespan they predict for you. For instance, if you smoke, then that takes away 20 years or something like that. If you don't wear safety belts, there's a lot of things like that. And you could put in all those factors. Plus, you could enter in how many hours you sleep every day. You could enter in any of the other categories of wasting time that you put. And now, of course, say you're 45 years old, and then predicts how long you should be able to live according to the actuary chart. And then it tells you how much time you actually have left to practice Krishna consciousness. So let's say you're 45 and you're going to live till you're 80 according to your lifestyle choices. But then you enter all those other factors, like take away all the sleep and say you sleep 7 hours a day, that goes out. And say you fritter away time on Facebook or something like that, whatever, that goes out. And then it might give you like an accurate number, and wouldn't that be stimulating? If you actually knew that that's actually how much time I have left out of the next, you know, segment of lifespan I have. They already did it? They stole it from me. I'm suing.
No, listen. The latest Apple software, iOS 12 something or other, they actually have a little thing that pops up in your screen every once in a while and tells you how many hours you have used your phone. I mean, and how many hours you're looking at your screen. And their idea, of course, who knows? But they say their idea is to help the health of people because everybody's using them too much.
Probably. They say in the cigarette it causes cancer.
Would you use the app if we offered it? As I was around the time of the Y2K, do you all remember that? You were all kids at that time. But the Y2K, there were some people who were anxious about it because there was this idea that all the chips would malfunction and therefore the whole world would come to a grinding halt. And there were these little countdown timers that told how many years or months and days, seconds were left till midnight on Y2K. And, you know, people would keep them in their living room or whatever and kind of freak out about it every time they look at it. But I was just wondering, like, if everyone had a little lapel counter, and say you actually knew how many years or and months and days and seconds you had left, and you wore it on your lapel or kept it on your bead bag or whatever, and you kept looking at it and you go like, oh, I actually have this many, this is how long I have to live. Would you change your lifestyle? Would it influence you at all? What do you think, Radhika? Sure. Yeah?
Day number 70 is going to happen to you anyway, whether you have it on your own or not.
Knowing the human nature, people will find you thankful. Knowing that there's the human nature will go, nah, that's not true, because they're still electing the same president this time again.
They're demons, they'll think, only this much time left, I'd better make the most of it.
Took the Chevy to the levee. Yeah.
I just wanted to say I tried something similar once.
You did that, eh?
Well, just for each day, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, so wake up, then I have, if I go to bed, then I have, well, I forgot what it was, 10, 12, 14 hours left. And I would I'd announce it out loud in the ashram. It was just a few of us there. And I would say, okay, we got 13 hours left for the day. And then every like hour or two, I'd keep saying it. Okay, now we have 10 hours. Now we got 6. Now, you know, it would be interesting to keep that awareness.
There is an app you can get, and I've used it for a long time, where you can choose the activities you're working on. Let's just say something that's due in a year, or half a year, or a month, or whenever, even one day. And, you know, you can have as many projects going as you want, but you click it in when the end point is, and it starts counting down to when it is. But I found that as your theory, to prove your theory, at first, you know, it's very stimulating, but after some time, there's a sense of, you know, attention drift somewhere else. And I've looked at some of them, they already went past the time, like a year or something, and hadn't looked at it. So constant refocusing and modifying one's behavior is absolutely necessary.
Do this every day, and you won't forget. You may not be able to do 5 hours a day, but do it at least an hour and a half every day like this, and you won't forget.
Won't forget what?
How valuable human form life is, and how you're supposed to. What is it? What was it called? I can't remember what the term was, but
Modifying?
Remodify.
To modify your life.
To modify your life.
Okay.
You won't forget.
All right. I'll look it up right after, because I'd have to sift through. Can't remember right now. Now, we've come to the end of our reading for today. It's been an eventful day, and we'll be taking up the reading again tomorrow in the afternoon.
Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman! Hey! Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman! Nacheriyar Marman!